Right. Now, well, we talk about the connection. My next thing is, we said the role of the church. Now we're talking about the kids and the role of the parents. What advice would you give the parents that they can help get their kids into at an early age? And with them working with the church, you probably see some positive results if they work together, you know, the parents.
Exactly. First of all, I think that because of the new laws that have come down that interfere with a parent's ability to chastise their children, that is part of the cycle of breaking down the family unit. And this breakdown of the family unit began some years ago when the social service agency's welfare became very prevalent. And in almost all cases, the caseworkers used to come to your house. And if they found a man's clothes or a man's shoes in your house, they would cut you off.
Yeah.
And so you had to put your husband, your boyfriend, whomever, out of the house. Mm-hmm. They could no longer be part of the unit. Mm-hmm. The mother became the head of the household, which created a resentment in her mm-hmm. towards the man. The kids, especially the boys, began to resent, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they, there's been a falling away. I believe that mentorship is now important to fill those gaps and to fill those holes. I believe that folks in the church ought to take on responsibility of being a mentor, especially men with young boys, because they need to see a strong male presence. They need to see and experience a God-fearing man. They need to understand that being a part of the church is not a sissy thing.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a manly thing.
Sure.
And it connects with their sense of responsibility. And I also believe that if the parents take a positive role in the education of their children, instead of thinking of the school as being a major babysitting service where they drop them off in the morning and come back and pick them up in the afternoon and don't know anything about their homework, what they're learning, what they're studying, what is going on in their school life, then the children begin to raise themselves.
Sure.
And it gets to a point where, you know, we see in the Bible where Jesus at 13 mm-hmm. was in the synagogue preaching. Well, that is the optimum age. If you don't foster some respect and some structure in their life before 13,
mm-hmm.
after 13, it becomes a problem.
Sure.
It becomes, especially with boys, but now the girls are catching up because they're now worse than the boys.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, and especially in terms of their sexuality.
Yeah.
And kids in grammar school are having anal sex in the hallways, in the stairwells.
Yeah.
And then they tell you, well, that's not sex. They see too much. They hear too much. And we do not, as parents, put controls on the TV that they watch, parental controls. We don't do that. We let them watch anything they want as long as they don't bother us. As long as we can get high or whatever. And then after a certain amount of time, you're getting high with your kids. You're cussing with your kids. You're having sex around your kids. What do you expect? We didn't have that growing up. And I'm not saying my mother was an angel, because I tell y'all all the time, my mother was a hot mess. But I was grown before I fully comprehended her hot messness.
Yeah.
Okay, I did.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see my mother falling down drunk. I didn't see my mother laying in the bed with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I didn't see my mother getting high. In fact, I still don't know whether or not my mother got high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people tell me she did, but I never saw it. I know she'd take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But all the rest of that, uh-huh.
So you're basically saying it takes a community, but we got to pay attention.
It takes a village to raise a child. Right. But we have to pay attention, and we have to be about our Father's business, and we have to take responsibility, not just for the baby I had, but for all the babies that come through. And that's why I try to encourage them by, you know, on Youth Sundays, letting them bring the word, giving them incentive to do good in school, you know, by showing me their report cards and what have you, and then giving them some things, giving them a few dollars to encourage them, not to spoil them, because, you know, we had them going to the nursing home last year, spending time with the seniors. The seniors enjoyed it. They enjoyed it. As one child told me, it was a new experience. They never thought of anybody past their own grandparents being, you know, productive or having something to say. And we need to do more of that.
I agree. Last question for you is, as far as what advice would you give the kids themselves? We're talking directly to them now as the millennials.
Millennials or kids? Because they're two different...
Well, yeah, the young people. I say young people.
What age group?
I say the ones that... This section of the report is the ones that are coming out of high school, entering into the college area or...
Into nothing.
Yeah. What advice would you give them as far as certain things that they should apply to their life as they start to move forward as young adults?
I think they need to learn how to look at themselves in a positive way. I think that they should not listen to what politicians have to say about them or their skin color or the way they look. I think that they need to be taught to have more pride about themselves. You know, when we were coming up, we weren't wearing weaves and stuff like that. We had afros, you know. We were young, gifted, and black, as Nina Simone said. You know, James Brown would come through, "I'm black and I'm proud." You know, many, many years ago, there was a picture of me in the Daily News, you know, at the Morgan State Grambling game. My hair was in an afro, and I was standing up, and what did I say, black power or something or other, something like that. But I've always been proud of me and my people. And I do what I can for my people, and it's not about a dollar, okay? And I try to teach them that. Yes, we need to live. Yes, we need to be comfortable. Yes, our bills need to be paid, but we need to learn how to stop selling our soul to the highest bidder. And so, again, mentoring is a big part of that. You know, we need... places like the Eagle Academy, that's for boys, but we need a similar setting for girls, okay? There's, and I won't call his name, but there's one young man in this church who was here, you know, when I first came, what, almost 10 years ago? He was a handful. He was a handful. And I said to his mother, his father, grandmother, he's a handful because he's bored. He's bored. They aren't keeping his mind activated. They didn't listen to me for a couple of years, and he was getting left back. And then all of a sudden, somehow or another over the summer, I guess they got sick and tired of my mouth, and they wanted to show me, they were able to get him into the Eagle Academy.
Okay.
He's a totally different child.
Wow.
Totally different, because they engage his mind. They've given him structure. They've given him a sense of himself. And that's what we need to do. We can't wait till they graduate from high school to give them a sense of who they are. We got to start young.
That's right.
Because these folks are testing our children in the second and third grade to determine how many jails they need to build upstate.
That's right.
And they feeding that pipeline with our children religiously. And we've got to enter as a community, as a people. We have to become so concerned about our children that we do take a more active role in their lives. There's a child in this church who in 4 years has never missed a day of school. Mm-hmm. How many children can say that? Mm-hmm. Whose mother makes sure she's in his school several days a week, taking part in everything to be an integral part of his life. No, his father is not in the home. His father is a great disappointment, but his mother plugs the holes. And with some of the guys here in the church, you know, who speak to him, who are kind to him, he gets it, because his mother don't have men traipsing in and out her house either. And she makes sure he's in church. And if she has to work that Sunday, his grandmother brings him to church. Mm-hmm.
So you're promoting self-respect as the initial mark in the nucleus in us building forward as a people.
Definitely. We have to regain our sense of self, our self-respect for self, for community, you know, for who we are. We got to teach our young people that them weaves and all such like and hanging down their back, that's not you. That's not who you are.
Thank you for your time and your intellect and your spirituality and the service that you provide to the community. We want to congratulate you on your anniversary. And hopefully we'll get a chance to speak with you in the future as things progress.
Amen. Thank you. God bless. All right, now.